You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
This morning on the Breakfast Grill, I'm joined by Dato Zarul Ahmad Muhammad Zulkifli, the chairman of the consortium Zenith BUCG St. John Berhad, which is the group awarded the project to build and operate the 6.3 billion ringgit Penang Road and Undersea Tunnel project. Dato, a very good welcome, a very warm welcome to you. This project is probably the biggest ever awarded on the state of on the island of Penang, as we understand it. Do discuss with us the tender process that had to be initiated to come up with the eventual winner for this project.
Okay, I don't have the dates in mind, but I can briefly let you know the process that we went through. There was an invitation for pre-tender, pre-qualification exercise, which was advertised in the newspapers. And out of the pre-qualification exercise, 60 companies came in for the briefing. There was a briefing, sorry. And eventually, after the whole pre-qualification exercise, then there was this, what do you call this? Then they pre-qualified about 12 companies or so. They were invited, including us, we were invited to do the RFP, request for proposal. That exercise, I think, took us, the government gave us about 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. And after that, after the pre-qualification exercise, we had to go through another round of interview where they had shortlisted about 6 companies. And from the 6, after the interview, the committee sat down and they awarded to us based on the most competitive pricing and the best technical proposal.
This project is worth 6.3 billion ringgit. The consortium that you head, Dato, as yes. chairman, you represent the biggest chunk, the Zenith CRCC consortium, accounting yes. 70% of yes. the joint venture.
Yes.
The other 10% are Beijing Urban Construction Group, 10% by Sri Tinggi St. John Berhad, and 10% by Jutras St. John Berhad.
Yes.
Up until now, as far as corporate figures go, Dato Zarul,
yeah.
you have kind of like flown under the radar. Tell us, who is Dato Zarul and what capabilities do you bring to the table to head this consortium?
I'm just a businessman. And I have had my ups and downs in business, but my downs when I was doing my business, when my business failed and so on, I call that my tuition fees. So from there, I have learned a lot of things through the economics crisis 1997 and so on. I have gone into various ventures, and so far they have been quite successful.
Which were the successful ones that gave you the standing to head this consortium for a huge infrastructure project in
okay.
Penang?
I basically have concentrated on two fields. One is in the field of ICT, which I was which I still am a director of a subsidiary in Formis Berhad. And we secured the e-Mahkamah. It was also a tender which we won. Now it's being implemented throughout all the courts. And I'm also with Bina Puri. I have secured together with them the contract to construct the Malaysian embassy in Russia. And this is through hard work lah. I always think that whenever we submit for tenders, we have to be as low as possible, as competitive as possible, and we should give the best possible proposal.
So you have got expertise in technology and as well as in construction and engineering.
Yeah.
But we understand your background is in financial services. More on that later.
Yeah.
But no entrenched core engineering expertise. Again, I mean, you have ended up as the chairman, as the head, as the public face
yes.
of this consortium, and it's a huge project. I mean, yeah. do back up the credentials that you bring to the table, Dato Zarul.
Basically, I was the one who formed the consortium. I am the one who brought in China Railway and Beijing Urban Construction Group into the table. And it was not an easy task because China Railway Construction is the biggest construction company, engineering company in the world. To build a relationship with them to gain their trust, it was a process. And Beijing Urban Construction Group also is in the top 225 international contractor in China's top 500 enterprises.
Okay, so these corporations have built, you know, the Bird's Nest Stadium for the Olympic Games.
Yes.
They built the Beijing Airport, amongst other things.
Yes.
So obviously they've got deep entrenched expertise.
Yes.
What does it take, Dato, from your perspective, for what is otherwise a little known Malaysian businessman,
yes,
to build a close forge of ties between two construction giants in China and to come and do this project in Malaysia with you? What did it take?
Well, basically, we were not only looking at Penang. We were looking at the rest of Malaysia and what we could do in Malaysia. What are the projects that we could get involved in Malaysia? For instance, I'm working with CRCC also to bid for the high-speed railway. But the thing is, why they came to me, you have to ask them. But from what I know, they like the way I handle things, because
How do you handle things, Dato?
I tell it as it is. I call a spade a spade. If there is if there are problems and issues, I will tell them. Because I will not give them promises or create something that is positive when it is not.
You have won this project in an opposition state, run by the DAP.
Yes.
What cables do you need to pull, if at all, to get this project done?
The only cable that I had to pull was from the God Almighty. Because as far as this is concerned, it was an open tender. And the documents are open for public scrutiny. There was no hanky-panky. We went through the exercise. It was over a period of almost 3 years before we eventually got the award.
Okay, so 6.3 billion ringgit, of which your consortium is actually capitalized at 4.6 billion ringgit. First of all, financial capabilities, how are you funded right now?
We have secured funding from Singapore. Two major commercial banks in Singapore have given us a indicative letter of offer, subject to certain conditions which now have already materialized since we already got the award of the contract. And we'll be starting our documentations and so on to get the drawdown from the two commercial banks in Singapore.
So three expressways that you envisage building have got no toll on them on the island. The only toll is on the link, the undersea tunnel.
Yes.
Between Penang Island and Butterworth.
Yes.
And of course, that's where the revenue will come from, as well as, I guess, the reclaimed land on which you build your developments, right?
Yes.
What is the payback method? I mean, what is the ROI for the bankers that back you guys?
What we have to do is basically we have to do the work first before we get paid, and we get paid in the form of land. So the land will come only after we have done so much work. For instance, we have completed at least about 100 million worth of work before we could claim 100 million worth of land. So
there is no ROI on land until stuff is built on it, on
which
then you
correct,
rent them out.
Correct,
so
correct.
There's quite a few years before your financial backers get some kind of return. Is that the correct presumption here?
Yeah.
Talk through the financial structuring with us if you can.
Actually, our financial structure, we are closing, we're keeping it close to our chest. We have come up with very innovative way of structuring our financing, and that is because we have the help of my financial advisor is from Singapore, Asian Corporate Advisors. They are registered with the SGX. They are a boutique financial advisory company, and they have raised billions of ringgit, and their clientele come up to like the Salem, the Salim Group and so on. Big names.
So the only kind of instruments that can take these kinds of tenures would be some kind of bond or some kind of sukuk structures or some kind of fixed income structures. Would that be right?
Yeah, but it is quite right. But you see, there is no sovereign guarantee from Penang State Government. So your rating is basically based on how the public perceive the project to be.
Correct.
How viable it is
to be. And how your path to kind of some kind of revenue return.
Yes.
What kind of credit rating have you attained?
We did not go through that route. It was not. We did not raise any bonds, or we have not raised any bonds at the moment because it's still premature. But what we have got is commercial banks initially financing us, because Singapore, as you know, half of Singapore is reclaimed. So they understand about reclamation very well.
Then I guess the collateralized security would be the island and the highways on which you're constructing.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Dato' Zarul Ahmad Muhammad Zulkifli, the chairman of Consortium Zenith BUCG. St. John Berhad, the group awarded the project to build and operate the 6.3 billion ringgit Penang Road and Undersea Tunnel project. Dato', we're going to take a break. After this, we're going to come back and talk through the environmental, social aspects of the tunnel project, as well as, I guess, more on you personally. My guest this morning is Dato' Zarul Ahmad Muhammad Zulkifli, the chairman of Consortium Zenith BUCG, St. John Berhad, which is the consortium awarded the project to build and operate the 6.3 billion ringgit Penang Road and Undersea Tunnel project. Dato', in terms of the technical capabilities, we know that your partners have built various stadiums and various airports and, you know, I guess some roads, even within some dams in China. What kinds of expertise do you think they need to bring to the table with the Penang Tunnel project?
Okay, for a start, China Railway has already completed 60,000 kilometers of tunnel, and they are building an average of 1,300 kilometers of tunnel per year. That, I think, is self-explanatory as to their capability. For them to be getting awards, various international awards, is very important to maintain their name. They will ensure that the quality given on their work will be of excellent.
China's infrastructure growth, as well as its economic growth, has come at a huge price, environmentally speaking. Is that a department in which your Chinese partners might not otherwise have the requisite skills and capabilities in?
No, I think they are very concerned. Otherwise, they have not won awards for their construction capability, which also, I believe, would have taken into consideration how they impact on environment. But nevertheless, having said that, we are also before we embark into this, we also need to get the DEIA approval, Department of Environmental. It's called environmental impact assessment. We have to get that approval first. Okay, that's one. Number two is I have an environmental consultant with me throughout the whole process. For the tunnel, we have Meinhardt, which is an international consultant that has seen or managed a lot of tunnels all over the world, and we have environmental experts with us in our 17 consultant groups, which will look into environmental and social impact.
Gurney Drive is a part of the island, the very famous part of the island where the tunnel will commence its undersea journey.
Yes,
is already quite clogged up silt-wise from reclamation activities done by developers around the around the area, and of course, there's justifiable concern among Penang residents about the environmental impact of such developments. I mean, how are you going to address concerns? And because, as we understand it, if the environmental concerns are not addressed sufficiently well, project doesn't go through.
The project doesn't go through. Correct. And when we do our feasibility studies, we will be looking at possibilities that there could be road tunnels to avoid any kind of environmental impact. We'll be looking at road tunnels as well.
What's a road tunnel?
That means it's on the land. Part of the highway could be a tunnel instead of elevated.
You're talking about the link between Penang and Butterworth? Or
no. I'm talking about the highways, the three major highways.
The three bypasses, within town.
Yeah.
So that obviously has financial implications as well if you go underground. It makes it more costly.
It will be more costly, but it was taken into consideration when we did the pre-feasibility study, when we did the RFP, because we had to look into all those possibilities before coming out with our pricing.
From an environmental perspective, there's there's obviously, of course, commercial concerns, fishermen, hotel operators, even residents. What kind of you know, what are the main pushbacks in this area when you conducted your public dialogues?
There were two main concerns when we conducted a series of forums in Penang to talk about the tunnel and the major roads. One school of thought is that there should not be any more roads, because you build more roads means more cars. But that is their philosophy. And some of them were saying that, you know, they are opting to bicycles and so on and so forth. But I think, to be realistic, people don't buy cars because there is a highway or not. They don't care whether you have a highway or not. They buy cars because they want to buy cars. That's one. Number two is, practically speaking, I don't think majority of the people would want to cycle. So, you know, there is a definite need for highways. Otherwise, Penang will be clogged up as it is. And if you go even non-peak seasons, you find that's a little bit of a jam.
The toll road between the island and Butterworth, what kind of indicative rates would Penangites, in fact, users, be expected to pay?
We will be guided by the toll rate that is imposed on the second bridge. So whatever the second bridge charges, that's the toll rate that we have
right
to
now. R7 one way on the existing bridge.
That would be it.
Yeah. So that would be indicative.
That would be it. Yes.
When will the project be completed?
We anticipate around 2023-2025 before everything is completed.
So immense levels of patience required from your financial backers. Yeah. What about the reclaimed land? We understand that you're getting rights over the use of that 110 hectares of reclaimed land, right?
Acres, not hectares.
Acres.
I wish it was hectares.
Okay, where will it be and what kind of things are you envisaging?
I have 110 acres to be given to us through ENO. ENO managed to get about 700 acres of reclaimed land. And part of it has got to be surrendered to the state government, a total of 110 acres. And
that devolves to you guys?
Yes.
Okay. What's your plan for that? And do you have to get, you know, the cooperation of ENO to align your development with what they are planning?
Yeah. We are in close contact with ENO because my success is their success. Their success is my success. We have to blend our development together. So that it will not affect each other's marketing strategy. But as far as the development plan is concerned, we have rough sketches of what we want to do on the parcels of land. But
usual stuff, high-end condos, high-end retail.
Okay.
Restaurants.
If I'm going to just do condominium, what is the difference between mine and the others? What's the difference between my condominium and SP Setia and so on? I've got to value add. I've got to ensure that I have enough facilities or enough pull factors to bring people, to encourage people to buy my condominium, my project. So I'm still thinking. I've got a few ideas, but they're still on the drawing stage.
What would be so innovative about them?
It has to be innovative. What is it?
It will still be residential, but something different.
Yes.
It will still be retail, but something different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Ewen, of which you were initially named director and now chairman, was there also part of the speculation? And now, of course, you are there.
Mm-hmm.
Ewen's share price has skyrocketed, not surprisingly. The sources have speculated that it would be getting something like over R1 billion worth of construction projects. Now, to what extent is this true?
Actually, we are still at the drawing stage. We want to explore possibilities. We are not only exploring we are not just concentrating on Penang. We are also exploring possibilities of doing some projects in Selangor and in Malacca. And we have gone to talks and negotiations with PKNS.
What has PKNS got to do with Ewen?
We are together. I'm part of Ewen as a Ewen chairman now of Ewen Land. And definitely, I will bring Ewen as my partner to look at possibilities of doing some developments.
Okay. So how many percent would you end up with in Ewen?
I will not be in the listed co. I'm in the subsidiary. How it's going to end up later on is still still too premature.
Is even the listed vehicle for your plans in Malaysia? In fact, indeed in Penang?
I'm thinking about it, but I still haven't decided yet.
In terms of yourself personally, you started out life as a financial services executive with Bank Rakyat. And that's where, about 20 years ago, you were, I guess you were charged by under BaFIA, the Banking and Financial Institutions Act, for having exceeded, I guess, your lending limits in regard to, in terms of lending about 127 million ringgit to one company, thereby you and your colleagues having trespassed your limits. Of course, you were charged and you suffered as a result. Some quarters are questioning your credibility in running this behemoth construction project with a tainted past. How would you respond?
Well, that happened in 1992. That time I was about 30 over years old. I was in the oil and gas industry all the time. I was in Petronas, I was in Mobil. So when I went into Riot Merchant Bank, I was in charge of human resource. And at that time, the managing director of Riot Merchant was also my director in Mobil before. So our first target was we wanted to turn around the bank because it was going in the red. It was the smallest merchant bank in the country at that time. And within 6 months, we turned around the bank and made it into a profitable bank.
You were very aggressive though, because by lending such a huge amount of money to...
Basically what happened was I brought in good brains. We motivated them. We had a lot of propaganda to make them feel that they are the best, you know. This all we learned from Mobil when we were in the multinational. We motivated our staff and so on and so forth. But see, what happened was we have very little experience about banking per se. So at that time, the target was to make as much profits as possible. So there was an instance where we lent out more than we were allowed to, and we were charged under BaFIA.
How formative was that experience, Dato, at that time in shaping your business career since then?
It was very tough because people didn't understand what was the charge about. Most of people had the misconception that we embezzled money, but you know, the Attorney General and the police have gone through the documents and all that, and there was not a single cent embezzled. We did not steal any money. There was no criminal breach of trust. The only thing we did was to overlend. So, but the perception of the public, because of the news at that time, and I was very naive, because I just let the newspapers print anything. You know, I was very naive. My main intention at that time was to move on and to live my life. So I had to work with a negative perception. But fortunately for me is because I had a lot of clients who came by and assisted me to give me some work as a consultant, to help them to do turnarounds and so on and so forth. And from there, I developed and did my own business. So, you know, for those who knew us during the banking days, they knew that we were not criminals. We never were.
Dato, having come this far and you know, standing as you are on the verge of building something iconic for Penang, we do wish you the best of luck, and we do hope to revisit this conversation at some point in the future. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you.
We were talking to Dato' Zarul Ahmad Mohamad Zulkifli, the chairman of Consortium Zenith BUCG St. John Bahad. The consortium awarded the project to build and operate Penang's 6.3 billion ringgit road and undersea tunnel project, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, the business station.